Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will move to chapter 8 of that book. Our study will help us to understand the Quran once again. This is commentary on the ahadith. The word ahadith is a plural word for the word hadith, which means talk. So we're going to be doing some study on the sayings of Muhammad. First of all, I know so many people will write to me and they say, Brother Usama, what is the difference between hadith and sunnah? Hadith, once again, is talk, the talk of Muhammad. Sunnah is a bigger word which covers more than just the talk of Muhammad. Sunnah is expression. We used to cover all the sayings of Muhammad and all the actions of Muhammad and all the decisions of Muhammad. So when you say Muhammad said, that is his talk. Well, Muhammad did, that is his action. Muhammad gave orders, that is his command, that is his direction which he wants the Muslims after him to follow. So sunnah is a bigger word, a deeper word, which covers the sayings and the actions and the decisions which was made by Muhammad. So if Muslim will do something because they imitate Muhammad, it can be according to his words or his command or even his action. Let me give you a good example of the action of Muhammad. The sunnah of Muhammad that he used to urinate sitting down like women do. And that is the sunnah of Muhammad. Therefore, if Muslims are true following the sunnah of Muhammad, men do not urinate standing up, but they must urinate sitting down like women do. Add to that, when Muslims enter the bathrooms, they enter the bathroom door, crossing the threshold of the door of the bathroom by their left foot first. They do not go to the bathroom with their right foot, but by their left foot. Why? Because that is the sunnah of Muhammad. That's how Muhammad enters the bathroom with his left foot first. Maybe some of you right now are laughing, but that is the sunnah of Islam. That's what Muhammad did, and that's what Muslims must do. Well, I believed that all my life, believe it or not, until I discovered that 1400 years ago, there was no bathrooms. Therefore, there is no way for Muhammad to enter the bathroom with his left foot, especially when we know from the other saying, other hadith of Muhammad, that he used to go potty outside in the woods and the trees used to cover him to give him privacy. Of course, these are all made up stories. And as we continue to look at the hadith, the sayings and the actions of Muhammad, we will see how ridiculous it is and how many of it are simply made up lies. Now, we must ask the question, are all Muslim people believe in the hadith, the sayings of Muhammad? Are all Muslim people follow the sunnah of Muhammad? Of course not. Why? Because many of the Muslims who have some logic and common sense will tell you this is ridiculous. This is foolishness. Why do we believe in that when we know that many of the sayings of Muhammad is not true, made up? Therefore, these people call themselves Quranic only, which means they only follow the teaching of the Quran. They don't follow the sayings or the sunnah of Muhammad, meaning his saying, his action, or his decisions. But we have a bigger problem with such group of Muslims. Why? Because you cannot follow the Quran and the sayings of Islam without following the sunnah of Muhammad. Because many things Muslims do every day, including the practice of the pillars of Islam, and such practice cannot be found anywhere in the pages of the Quran, but can be only found in the sunnah, in the saying, and in the action and decision made by Muhammad. Let me give you some examples. The first pillar in Islam is called the pillar of Shahada. That is when Muslims bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and when Muslims bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If Muslims will not say these twofold witnesses in the Arabic language, they are not Muslim at all. So where can we find that pillar number one in the Quran. There must be a place in the Quran where Allah says, say, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Well, guess what? That statement is not anywhere in the Quran. Where can we find it? We find it in the Hadith, in the saying of Muhammad. That is when Muhammad said, I have been commanded to engage in war with people until they testify that there is no God except Allah, and until they testify that I am His messenger. So the Hadith will help me to practice the pillar of Islam. And that pillar of Islam is not found in the Quran, but only in the saying of Muhammad. How about the pillar of prayer? I know that the Quran talk about three prayers, the prayer of the morning and the prayer of the evening and the one in the middle. But in reality, Muslim people pray five times a day. Where do we learn about the five daily prayers? It's not in the Quran, but it is in the Hadith. That is when Muhammad made up his story about when he was ascended to the seven heavens and how he met with Allah, and Allah asked him in the seventh heaven to ask the Muslim believers to pray 50 times a day. And then Muhammad was on his way to earth, so he stopped at the fourth heaven, I believe, or some say the fifth heaven, and there he met with Moses. And Moses found out that Allah asked him to ask the Muslim believers to pray 50 times a day. Moses advised Muhammad that this is too many prayers, and people will not believe him, and people will not practice all these prayers. So he recommended to Muhammad to go back to the seventh heaven, speak to Allah, and tell Allah to make a better deal, cut the number of prayers. And Muhammad did. And therefore, Allah changed the number of prayers from 50 to 45. And this circle of Muhammad speaking to Moses and going back to speak to Allah continued to repeat itself. And every time Muhammad met with Allah, the number of prayers were cut down five prayers until in the end, in the trip number 17, that is when Muhammad was told by Allah that he wants the Muslim believers to pray five times a day. And that's why Muslims today pray five times a day. Now, where do we learn about that story, about the five daily prayers, the pillar number two in Islam? Is it in the Quran? No, it is in the Hadith. And Muslims must believe and practice the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. Otherwise, you will not be able to know about the number of prayers. Let's add to that. When Muslims pray, they're not praying in the same way we Christians pray. They have many traditions they have to do before they pray. So they have to pray after they do what's called wudu. Wudu is special tradition, special wash by the water. Even if a Muslim have just take a shower, he must do the wudu. Otherwise, his prayer will not be accepted. Where do we learn about the wudu? Not in the Quran, but in the Hadith. And how about the number of kneeling in different time of the prayer? Because we know Muslims pray five times. But guess what? In the prayer of the morning and the prayer of the afternoon, they kneel twice. But in the prayer of the late afternoon and the prayer of the Isha, they kneel four times. As for the prayer of the sets of the sun, they kneel three times. Where do we learn about that? Anywhere in the Quran? No. The answer is this details about the prayer is only found in the Hadith, not in the Quran. Add to that, if a Muslim man standing to prayer, he must stand up in the front row facing Mecca to do the prayer. Muslims have to stand up in a straight line. No one can be ahead or behind from that line when they stand next to each other to pray. Where do we learn about that? In the Quran? No, it's in the Hadith. What happens if a Muslim is a little behind on the line of prayers or a little bit ahead? Not only Allah will not accept his prayer, but Allah will not accept the prayer of the rest of the believers who are standing on that line. Very important fact. Now, what if a Muslim passed wind while he was kneeling or bending physically to perform such prayers? Muslims must ask two very important questions. Number one, did it make a sound? Because if it make a sound, automatically he lost his wudu. He is no longer clean. He have to leave the line of the Muslim believers, go to the bathroom, clean himself one more time, come back, stand in the line and do the prayer, start all over. Now we ask the second question. What if when he passed the wind, it did not make any sound? Did it make any smell? If the wind which a man passed while he is bending and praying have any smell, that means also that break his wudu. He is no longer clean. What if it did not make sound and it did not have any smell? Then he can continue to pray. And that is the details of the wudu and the rules which Muhammad gave to the Muslims in the hadith about the prayer. Now, do you see how important it is to know the hadith? My friends, there are so many things in Islam. Without the teaching of Muhammad in the hadith, well, I will say good luck to be a Muslim. Practices of many of the commands of Muhammad cannot be found in the Quran, but simply it is in the hadith. How Muslims ought to live according to the directions of Muhammad cannot be found in the Quran, but only in the hadith. There are many prayers we know Muslim practice, and these prayers also cannot be found in the Quran, but in the hadith. Like the prayer when there are eclipse, the prayer for the dead, the prayer for the fear, the prayer for this and the prayer for that. None of these information is mentioned in the Quran, but it is only in the hadith. So once again, Muslims cannot practice Islam fully, but by knowing all that which is written in the Quran. But Muslims must have the hadith to be able to live the sunnah of Muhammad. Muhammad assured the Muslims what is written in the Quran, what is completed in the Quran, in the hadith. And without the saying of Muhammad, Muslims would not have known the beauty and the truth of the Quran as Muhammad described it in his sayings. To the point that now we know that the sunnah of Muhammad is the judge of the word of Allah in the Quran. It is equal to that of the Quran. Or maybe we can say it's actually more clearer than the commands of Allah in the Quran. Once again, because without the sayings of Muhammad in the hadith, Muslims could not understand what in the world Allah wants them to do in many of his commands in the Quran.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Muslim scholars said that in the hadith, sometimes we see lightening the matters for the Muslims, or sometimes make it harder for the Muslims, even though we know that the words of God must be above such thing. Because if Allah is God, He should only give laws which fit to the nature of all the people in all times. Since God is all-knowing and God all-wise, He knows what is benefit and what is not benefit. So how can God give commands in His word where He knows it's not going to fit or it's not going to work with the people who believe in Him, the people who love Him, the people who trust in Him? How can God give a command which is light and then he gives a command which is difficult and hard for people to practice? And as we look at the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith and the commands of Allah in the Quran, we will see, as usual, many contradictions, which means I do not know how in the world Muslims can live practicing such commands and have peace. What if they're doing the wrong command? The command which was abrogated, as we talked about that in our last broadcast. This is a big problem. Now, let's talk about when the Hadith was collected. You have to understand, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of the sayings of Muhammad. And Muslims who believe in the Hadith will tell you, we believe in all that which is said by Muhammad. So we ask the question, when these sayings were collected together to make the huge volumes of books where Muslims believe in it, the saying of Muhammad. We know that most Muslims believe in the Hadith which collected by a man by the name Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. And you may hear me say Hadith Bukhari, the saying according to Bukhari, or Hadith Sahih Bukhari, the saying of Muhammad according to the correct collection of Bukhari, or Muslim, another man who collected the sayings of Muhammad by the name Muslim, or Abu Dawood, which is another man who collected the sayings of Muhammad, or Al-Tirmizi. So these are famous names. You may hear me once in a while in my seminars, in my teachings. I mention them, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, or Al-Tirmizi. Now, Al-Bukhari collected 200,000 of the sayings of Muhammad. That is 200,000 of the sayings of Muhammad. Out of it, he only gave us 100,000. And he did not correct out of the 100,000 except 7,275 sayings. Imagine with me, the scholar Al-Bukhari met with hundreds and thousands of Muslim peoples, and he collected 200,000 of the sayings of Muhammad, but he only wrote out of it only 100,000. So he literally dropped half of the sayings of Muhammad, which people told him, Muhammad says this and Muhammad said that. But then he only gave us out of the 100,000, 7,275 of the sayings. And he said, these are the correct ones. And the rest he denounced, or he denied, or he said, there is no way that Muhammad said it. And that is what Muslims believe. And these are the 100% correct hadith, according to Bukhari. That's why in my teaching, I do not use the 200,000 which Muhammad said, nor the 100,000 which Al-Bukhari wrote, but I only use the correct hadith, the correct sayings, which means what I'm sharing with you when I say Muhammad said, according to Bukhari, according to the correct hadith of Bukhari, this is 100% true. All Muslims accept it, because it is the best of the best after the great investigation which Al-Bukhari did to the sayings of Muhammad. Now, when did Bukhari die? Bukhari died 256 years after immigration, roughly after 200 years after Muhammad died. How about Sahih Muslim, the correct hadith by Muslim? He produced 12,000 hadith, and he put it in his book when he died in the year 261 after immigration. He was 55 years old when he did so. He chose his correct hadiths from 300,000 hadiths. Are you imagining these numbers with me? He collected 300,000 of the sayings of Muhammad, but he only chose 12,000, which means Sahih Muslim only gave us less than 4% of the sayings of Muhammad, and he rejected more than 96% of the saying of Muhammad. That's why we say what he gave us is 100% true, accurate sayings of Muhammad. How about Abu Dawood, who died in the year 275 after immigration, and he created his book Al-Sunan, and he said that he wrote about Muhammad's sayings 500,000 sayings. And he collected from it in his book, he mean the Sunan book, 4,800 hadiths. As he only gave us the correct sayings, or the one which is near to the correct sayings of Muhammad. Once again, He actually wrote 500,000 hadiths. And he gave us less than 5,000 hadiths, which he know for sure they are correct or close to be correct. That means he only gave us less than 1% of what he collected from the sayings of Muhammad. How about Al-Tirmizi? He was the student of Ismail Al-Bukhari, and he died in the year 279 after emigration. And he put it in his book, which he titled Al-Jama' wal-'Ilal, and he wrote from it many of the sayings of Muhammad, which was collected together in a book, roughly, once again, around 200 years after the death of Muhammad. So we got four important people, four respected scholars who did their best to collect the sayings of Muhammad. And then they investigate all these sayings. And then these respected scholars gave us what we call the cream of the crop. And these are Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, and Al-Tirmizi. But here is the important fact about their work, that they actually collected these sayings 200 years after the death of Muhammad. That is a long time, my friends. When we meet in our next broadcast, I'll be sharing with you more about such claims of Muslims, that these are the sayings of Muhammad. Because in reality, there is no way you can wait 200 years to collect some people's opinion about somebody concerning what he said. This is more miracle than the writing of the Quran itself. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.